Good evening. Praise the Lord and God bless you.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Lati.
How's it going?
Are you? Oh, it's going great. What about you?
No, not so good. Satan has really been.
Good evening.
Get me pretty bad.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Is this Evangelist?
Hey. No, this is Gloria.
Oh, hey, Gloria.
Hi.
Yeah, long time no talk to.
Yeah, you know, I saved somebody from something very toxic, and they needed my attention, so I had to save them. Yeah,
well, you had to be the instrument that God used to bring them out, huh?
Yeah, I got them out here, and now they're safe.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. Yes,
thank you for letting God use you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So now I've been talking to him, and I've been trying to convince them that how our church is really welcoming and how they teach us and everything. And he's willing to try it and join. So we shall see.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. I think...
Matter of fact, Pastor, remember I just told you that I lost my granddaughter, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, it was my son that lost his daughter, and so he was something in very, very toxic, something that was horrible besides losing his daughter. So I had to save him and bring him back from Arizona. So now he's trying to get his life together. I'm trying to get him help with the Medicaid and stuff like that to get him stabilized here. But I think he can use that really good breakdown. So I told him about our church and everything. So he's willing to give it a try.
Yeah, we praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
You know, having tried all else, you might as well try God. And how much can that hurt?
Right, exactly.
Right? And it's amazing that people don't think like that, Gloria. It really is. They, you know, you tried everything else, it's not working. Why not try something that you never tried and give God a chance to see if he's who he says he is? And so that's good. Yeah. We praise God for the work that you're doing. God bless you. Who just joined?
Okay.
Who just joined?
Nicobe.
Hey, Nicobe, God bless you. How are you?
All right. And you? God bless you.
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. We have currently we have you, Nicobe, we have Gloria, we have Latif, and I'm going to take a few minutes to kind of go around the room and just kind of get a handle on how things are going for people. Gloria just shared her testimony, and the Lord is using her to bring some people through some things, which is powerful. And there's no greater feeling in the world when you see people come out, you know God used you to help bring them out. It's no greater feeling in the world. So let me go back to you, Brother Lachi. You came in first. So did you want to share how your week is going, or did you want to wait and do that at a different time?
Yeah, you could just let everybody else go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, Nicobe, how's your week going?
It's actually going pretty good. God has been just showing me confirmation on things that you've been preaching on within myself. And I've accepted it, and I've just been making changes slowly but surely.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Today I was able to practice a good 30 minutes on the drums. I was watching a video, basically the basics of what you showed me or whatever. And yeah, just pray and ask God to give me the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge that I need to serve for him. And I don't take it lightly. I take this serious. So, yeah. Prayed on some other things, but yeah, I just really want to be obedient.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Nakobe, that's beautiful, and thank you for sharing that. Sister Hawanda, you just joined us.
Welcome. Greetings, family. Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey.
Amen. We have Lati Gloria, we have Sister Nakobe, we have Sister Hawanda, and we'll give it a few more minutes and give people some time to get here. But we were talking about how the week is going. Nakobe said she's learning obedience. She's learning that when she's obedient, and I'm paraphrasing, but she's learning is the more she's obedient, the more stuff starts happening with God involved in it.
Right? Hallelujah.
So that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And Sister Hawanda, how's your week going?
It's going great. It's going great. Yes, no complaints. And just, you know, taking life as it comes, because, you know, things happen. However, it's how we handle what happened, how we look at it, you know. So as life is going, you know, I feel like that, you know, I'm taking the lessons, you know, not feeling like anything is a loss. You know, I'm taking the lessons.
Yeah. You want to dive a little deeper into that before we move on?
The lesson
on a powerful subject matter. Go ahead.
Just to give a little feedback, you know, I just feel like, yeah, it's there's levels to faith as well. So that's what's been happening, even like dealing with KJ, which is my son, for you guys that don't know, being in the mental institution, and you know how we can have a hold on how we would like things to happen, you know, so that would and then you will say you have faith in them, but there's measures and levels to faith, to where I am so content in really relinquishing that thing and letting all control be in our Father's hand, because He knows what's best for us, no matter what it looked like. So get blessing and what's for me, you know, allowing His part of His story to be His, and what's because of His story. Connected as his mom, allowing that part to be for me, you know, and separating the both, you know. So in that, he's allowed to grow even more in faith and spiritually, with just relinquishing whatever happens, because I already prayed. You know, it may not look like what I to look like in that situation, but because I already prayed, and I know that my prayers are connected to my Father that hears me, that it ain't what it looked like, first of all, it ain't what it looked like, and that I don't have to be shaken or moved by what I see, because I already prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, because I already prayed. Hallelujah. And he's just been growing me up, you know. He's been growing me up as I stay at his feet as a little girl, you know. He's growing me up, like literally, to be able to release that thing, like, hey, it's in my Father's hand, and no matter what it looked like, it's in my Father's hand. That he said together for them that I called according to his purpose. So glory to believe.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That he knows what's best for us, right?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We think we know what's best for us. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, just as far as the sun is, just as far as the earth is from the sky. Our thoughts are that far and different when it comes down to God's way of looking at something, the way we look at it. And it's very, I think that what you said was most, Sister Tara, God bless you.
Thank you.
I think that what you said is most important. Welcome to Bible study. And so, I should call it life study, because this is not really Bible study, folks. This is life study.
Yeah. Right?
And I like the way that Sister Hawanda opened up, because I think that Two things she talked about. I know my father hears me. That's what she said. I know that I have a direct connection to the very throne of grace and mercy. And then she talked about life on life's terms. And I want to touch that before we have prayer. We forget that we didn't make the earth. Sometimes we forget that we did not form nor shape it. We forget that we didn't order our children. Our children came. We forget that our children didn't pick their parents. God did.
Glory.
We forget a lot of that, and we get caught up in, I have some authority and control. And if you look back at what took place in our lives and as much as our existence, you'll recognize you didn't even have any control over that.
Yes, come yes. on.
And that's important to get. It's life on life's terms. You get in your car, you get ready to go to the grocery store, you run over a nail, you get a flat tire. Oh, God, look at the devil. But sometimes it's not the devil, it's life on life's yeah. terms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He didn't just put a nail in the middle of the road going, when you come by, I'm going to make sure that you get the nail in your tire. You know, we forget that life is taking place and we have no authority over life. What God gives us authority over is how we view the life we have.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Is anybody... Does that make some sense?
Yes.
I have to take authority over how I view it, not what I'm viewing.
Yes.
When I look at what I'm looking at, it looks hopeless, helpless, it looks tiring, it's refining, it's depressing, it's anxiety filled. It's, oh my God, why me? And when you take control over your life, God tells you, why not you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who are you that you should escape what I, as Jesus Christ, couldn't even escape myself. I went through, oh, glory to God. And so, but I wanted to touch on one specific thing. We're going to have prayers for 5:41. I want to go, instead of going straight to Galatians, I want us to go to the book of John, because I want you to see this, and I want you to have John. This as part of your tool bag and arsenal. Yes, ma'am. Look at John, 17th chapter. Well, 16, actually. 17. Yep. St. John 17. Yes. And I'm gonna ask Sister Hawanda, would you open us up in prayer, please? Take us before the throne of grace.
Yes, hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just want to say thank you, Father. We want to say thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. We thank you for everything, not some things. Hallelujah. We thank you for everything. For you told us to give in everything. Hallelujah. And we don't take you for granted. We don't take our life lessons for granted. Hallelujah. In this season, we're taking the lesson. Hallelujah. And we just say thank you. Thank you for being the greatest teacher. Hallelujah. Thank you for being the greatest reacher. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that nothing is wasted in your hands. Thank you that you can use all of our life situations and circumstances for your glory. Hallelujah. Not that it will be about us at any chance, but it's all about you and what you want to do through. Hallelujah. What you want through us. So I thank you for reframing our focus. Hallelujah. That you give us new eyes. Hallelujah. That you have given us a new mind. That you have given us a new walk. That you have given us a new talk. Hallelujah. That all of us can be surrendered unto you so that you can use all of us. Hallelujah. And that we may be willing vessels. Hallelujah. That we can be used by you. Hallelujah. So I thank you, hallelujah, for accepting us in the fold. I thank you that we are in right standings with you so that we can hear you because my sheep hear me and they know my voice. Hallelujah. So I thank you that in this season that we hear you and that we know your voice. And as Apostle said about the sister, about being obedient. Hallelujah. I thank you that for dropping the spirit of obedience on us. Hallelujah. That knowing that better than sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That obedience is a form of worship. Hallelujah. Knowing that the delayed obedience is still sin. Hallelujah. So I thank you that in this season we are answering swiftly. Hallelujah. To what you nudge us and urge us to do. Hallelujah, that we will no longer hold ourselves back in this season. Hallelujah, that we won't be our own stumbling block and blame it on the devil. Hallelujah,
amen.
That
we're going
to our own butts out the way. I thank you that we're going to get our own butts up out the way and that we're going to move the way you say move. We're going to speak when you say speak. Hallelujah, we're going to step when you say shut up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for what you are doing for us and what you are about to do. I thank you. Hallelujah. Ah, that glory, glory, glory. I just feel in my spirit that some will be lunched in the spirit. Hallelujah. But when we look back, we won't even be able to see where we came from. But I thank you for the remembrance. Hallelujah. You said you'll bring all things back to our remembrance, that we can use our testimony. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, that it will be our testimony. Hallelujah, that we will no longer be ashamed to tell all of our story, that we will look at our life as an open book. Hallelujah, so that the sinner can hear and hallelujah, know that they can too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that they will know that they can too. Whatever our Father did for us, that he'll do it for them too. Hallelujah. So I pray for the spirit of shame, that it will flee from us, that the spirit of blame will flee from us. Hallelujah. That the spirit of guilt will flee from us. Hallelujah. That we can be that blameless people. Hallelujah. And open up our lives up like the book of life. Hallelujah. Knowing that we may have been through some things, but we were in life study. Hallelujah. That we were in life study, hallelujah, so that our lives become a testimony and a testament to the goodness of Yah and all the things that he has done for us, knowing that he can do it for somebody else. So I thank you for the open mouths, hallelujah, that we will no longer be afraid to speak up when you say speak, hallelujah, and every bit of trauma, hallelujah, that has silenced your children, that in this season that we gonna walk, hallelujah, and we're going to speak when you say speak, hallelujah, knowing that we have some good stuff and that what we have to say is valuable, not because of who we are, but because of the he that lives on the inside of us, hallelujah. So I thank you that there is nothing missing. I thank you that there is nothing wasted, hallelujah. And I thank you for the release of the anointing, hallelujah, that will destroy yokes even on this line. Hallelujah. The people will get healed and delivered and set free even on this line. Hallelujah. No, we only need a touch from you, that we only need your presence. Hallelujah. To show up. Hallelujah. For everything that's not like you to come out. Hallelujah. Ooh, for everything in us that's not like you to come out. Hallelujah. So we surrender all. Hallelujah. We surrender all to you on today. And we give you permission to have your way on this line. Any way that you see. Holy Spirit, we welcome you that you may allow us to disappear so that you can appear. Hallelujah. So speak for us and through us. Hallelujah. I decree and declare that lives will be changed and transformed. Hallelujah. As you open up your mouth and speak through every one of us as your children and as vessels of light, I decree that darkness has no room in this space. Hallelujah. I decree and declare that darkness has no dominion or power, not even around us or in our homes. I decree and declare that our doorposts and our window sills are shielded by the blood. Hallelujah. For any way that it tries to enter, that the answer is no in this season. Hallelujah. And I thank you that we will be mindful about the relationships that we have, but we will be mindful about the conversations that we have. We will be mindful about the things that we watch. We will be mindful about who we get on the phone with. Hallelujah. We will be mindful about everything that does not line up with your will for our life, so that we know that we won't be tripped up by the enemy. And I thank you for in this season, we're going to write the vision and make it plain. Hallelujah. So we can use it as a tool to identify the enemy when he comes. So we know that, hey, we said that we're doing this and we're changing this and we're changing this, and what's come to my door don't look like what we said that lines up with your will. So we know, and we can identify clearly the enemy and his tricks and trades of the that he has to make us stumble in this season. So I decree and declare, hallelujah, we seeking you where you may be found, hallelujah. We knocking where the door may be open, hallelujah. We asking, hallelujah. We asking, knowing that it shall be given unto us in this season, hallelujah. We won't be afraid no longer. We won't be afraid no longer. We won't be afraid no longer. So I thank you that fear has no dominion power over us, hallelujah. That we walking in a holy boldness, and as the word goes forth, so that we can possess the land, hallelujah. So that we can possess the land. And I thank you for that you are equipping us to do just such as that. And I pray for the first family. I pray that there's a divine covering. Hallelujah. I pray for a divine peace. I pray for a divine anointing. I pray for a divine breakthrough. I pray for divine unity. I pray for a divine love, the one that comes from the divine. Hallelujah. Knowing that ministry starts in our home. So I pray that it shifts in all of our home, that you send the ship. I pray that you send the ship. That you send a shift right now in the spirit, hallelujah, that everything that's unclean has to go, hallelujah. Even if it's objects, hallelujah, that we need to get rid of, I pray right now, hallelujah, that you speak, hallelujah, give it to us in dreams, hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, show us what your will, hallelujah, and everything hallelujah, that don't line sister. Up with it, hallelujah. I decree and declare that we will begin to hate sin. We will begin to hate sin, hallelujah, and fall in love with righteousness, hallelujah. That it will become a stench in our nose, hallelujah. That it will become a burning in our fingers, that it will burn in our belly, hallelujah. That it will consume everything in us that don't look like him, hallelujah. And that we will easily, make it easy for us to surrender, hallelujah. Knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith, hallelujah. And that it's already and always been too hard for us, so that you will allow us to come to the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we are nothing without you, and we can do nothing, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we just say thank you. We thank you for this life study. We thank you for what's about to take place. We thank you for your healing power and your delivering power. Hallelujah. Your transformation power that will be sent forth through the word. Hallelujah. That will affect each and every one of us on today. And I decree and declare never the same in Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I asked that we turn to the book of St. John, but before we go there, let's go back to Galatians. That was the book that we read, so then we're going to go back to that, because you need foundation for this. One of our pre-life study, that's what we're doing now, conversations was about life on life's terms. Life on life's terms. Life on life's terms. And I was sharing that you didn't make the world. You did not create this. You didn't even have the authority to create yourself in the womb. You were created. You didn't choose your parents, and your parents didn't choose you. Half of us did not. I mean, we didn't choose to be black. We are black. We don't choose to be white. We are white. We don't choose to be Mexican. God makes a choice. And from the point the choice is made, you are experiencing life on life's terms. Has nothing to do with culture, has nothing to do with color, has nothing to do with vocation, and it certainly has nothing to do with pedigree. Your grandparents could have been doctors and lawyers and presidents, kings and queens and chieftains, and you'll still go through trouble because you didn't choose where you're living. You choose how you're living. You don't choose where you're living. You can choose a city. You can choose a block, a house, an apartment, a tiny home, but you don't choose how life goes. Life just goes. You don't choose for people to die unless you're in the military and you pull the trigger. But yet people die. You don't choose to be sick, but yet people get sick. You don't choose how tall you're going to be, and yet some people grow to 7 feet. It's chosen for you sometimes. Does that make sense? And so as a foundation of trying to understand life on life's terms, it makes it a lot easier to know how to look sometimes at a thing and say, you know what? I didn't choose that, but it showed up.
Mm.
And now that it showed up, my choice is, what do I do with it? That part becomes my choice. What do I do about this? How does God say I should handle it? And so I want you to get this part first. Go to Galatians, the third chapter. And I want to make sure we have a strong foundation in this. In order sometimes to get where I believe, in order to get where destiny is waiting for us, we have to do something that is very foreign to us. And I say that because we spent, and you let me know if you're following, if you're not following where I'm going, or if you're following. But we spent the majority of our life, from toddler to teen to adult, trying to figure out a world that we did not make.
Amen.
Yes. We spent the majority of our life making adjustments. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I think that's a good title for it. Make the right adjustment. We make spent the right majority of our life making adjustments. The relationship you had at 13 turned out bad. You made an adjustment. You got rid of the person, or the person left, whatever happened. You chose somebody else. That was an adjustment.
Yeah.
You had a job, or you were coming into your, you know, to adulthood, and you knew you couldn't live with mama no more. Whether she told you to go, or whether you knew it was time to go, you made an adjustment. You adjusted something. Okay, I have to go find a job. Okay, I need to bring in so much income, and then I need to go look for a place, and I need to begin a life of my own. But even when I began the life of my own, though I thought I made the choice for it, I was still not able to control life on life's terms.
Yes.
So I got the apartment. I moved in. I'm happy as a camper. And then I go to work one day and come back, and the building is burned. Adjustment time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I go to the job, and the person that owned the company closed it because he took the money and ran. My job is gone. Adjustment time.
Right. Amen.
Anybody following me?
Yes, sir.
So our lives have been about adjustments. And God gives you the presence of the Holy Spirit to help your adjustment making become good decision making. Amen. I think that's you, the one I'm going to put you on mute, to become good. But I want you to read this so you get this, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when I adjust the thing in the world, sometimes I adjust it. And I'd like to know if I got a witness here on this one. Sometimes I adjust it. And I ended up going from, as my mother would say, the frying pan to the fire.
Yes.
The adjustment ended up being worse than the circumstance that I adjusted out of. And then I got a whole new set of things that I have to adjust on, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so sometimes, and I'm going to tell you how we're going to get out, right? First, you must hold this as a foundational teaching in your new walk. Because everything that you learned and you were adjusting all that time, it set itself and centered itself into our thought process. Please let me know if you're not following me. It centered itself into our thought process, and what it became was what we term as a belief system.
Yes.
Belief. What I believe is right has come from all of those years of adjustments. All of those things that I've seen, all of the ways I processed it, And then I made what I believed was the best decision for my life. The best decision for me. You can go back, and I'm gonna touch on some things, if I may. I could have had in my lifetime so many bad relationships with women, or could have been molested as a young person. Listen to me good. My brain will start making the adjustment even if I don't. And so I'll find myself having a distaste for male company or distaste for female company because I don't trust any of them. Now I've adjusted and it adjusts my lifestyle. It adjusts my thought process. It adjusts what I like and don't like anymore because somebody infringed in my life at some point. And when they infringed, my defensive mechanism kicked in and built a belief system. I hope somebody gets this.
Yes.
And built a belief system, not because it knows what to do, but because my brain has but one main purpose, and that is to help my body to survive. Because if your body doesn't survive, the brain knows it dies. So when God gave us the human mind, he gave us an amazing tool, but the 90% of that tool was about your survival, not about your thriving and your prospering. It's about surviving. And so whatever happens, it will make an adjustment for you, and you'll think you made it yourself because your brain does not like pain. Your brain doesn't appreciate pain, whether that pain is physical. So let me give you an example. Are we doing good so far? Because I really hope you all hear this, and I pray that this you receive this.
Yes.
If you get in a car accident and you break a leg, your first your brain's reaction is get to the hospital and get some pain medication. Doesn't that make sense? If you cut yourself and you see blood coming out, your brain is going to say either fix that or get to the hospital for somebody to fix it. Right?
Yes.
So that mechanism that our brain has as a functionality has been working all your life. The bad relationship caused the brain to say, I don't want this pain, because while the bad relationship was going on, there was depression, and that's a form of pain. There was anxiety, that's a form of pain. There was the feeling of betrayal, a form of pain. There was the feeling of being misused, a form of pain. There was all these feelings that the brain started making adjustments for. It started compensating to protect its body. Glory to God. To protect its body. Because when God made man, and think about this, go back. When he made man, Adam and Eve, and he made them in the garden, there was lions, there's tigers, there's bears, there's all those animals still running around on the outside or maybe even on the inside before they learned how to kill men. And your brain needed to know how to survive the element that you were in. Because they were in the Garden of Eden don't mean that they still didn't have storms. They still didn't have hurricanes. And so the brain had to know how to survive. Amen.
Yes,
and so God put a mechanism in, and this is important. Here's why it's important. Because 80% of what we're dealing with is about our survival, not been about our living.
Yes, which is first years of our life, yes.
Now, something has happened. I've accepted Jesus Christ. Yes. I made an adjustment. This is going to be good. I accepted Jesus Christ. That means my brain has allowed me to make an adjustment. But now that I made the adjustment, what is the change that's supposed to take place? See, the adjustment has been made. You've made a decision now. Now I'm in Christ. Now let's wait. Go to the third chapter of Galatians.
Yeah.
We're going to start at the 26th verse. Then we're going to go back to St. John, the 17th verse, because I want you to see the adjustment. Because when you
26.
When you made, if you made the adjustment to move out of mom or dad's house, you had to find a house. Think about it. You had to go find a place to live. When you found a place to live, that place came with certain parameters and circumstances that were out of your control. So the dimension of the apartment, kitchen in the back, living room, you maybe had a bathroom, and maybe had a bedroom. But you didn't design, ooh, this is going to get good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You did not design the apartment. You chose the apartment based on the design. Anybody listen? Because yes, you went to the other place and looked at it and said, I don't even like that. That just don't feel like me. And then you went to the next place and you said, ooh, this is perfect. The door's over there. The bedroom is right at the front door. That way, if anybody's trying to come through, I'm going to hear them before they get in. You know, you make, your brain has been making all these decisions with you in order to accommodate the life that we're in. Got it? All right. So you made an adjustment when you came in and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, Savior. Now let's talk about the part that you don't have control over and the part you do have control over. Okay? That good?
Yes, sir.
All right, watch this. Verse 26, Galatians 3:26. Here's the foundation for you. It says, for you are all the children of God by the adjustment you made to have faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have now, what does it say?
Put on Christ.
Put on Christ.
You've now put him on. The adjustment is made. There is neither Jew, going back to you didn't make a decision over whether you were black or white or Hispanic or Chinese. You didn't make that decision. God did. Watch what he's saying. There is neither Jew. In other words, he said, you ain't black no more. You ain't white no more. You ain't Hispanic no more. That's your culture. But that ain't your, that's not your present tense, and that is not your destiny anymore. He says, there's neither, in God's eyes, it's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bondman nor a free man. There's neither a male, oh glory, there's neither a male nor a female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, watch this, then you are also Abraham's seed, and therefore your heir according to the promise. Therefore, I'm an heir. Now watch where I'm going. So let me get back to this so this comes together prayerfully. So I'm now heir according to the promise. So what that's saying is God has now made an adjustment, not only in who your mama is and your daddy is, because that's a DNA issue, but he made an adjustment in who your lineage is, because that is a spiritual issue now. And so you have all the promises of Abraham coming, if you so choose to get it. So where does the problem show up in my life? The problem shows up because even though I moved into a new place, let me go back to that part we were talking about. I left mama, I left daddy, and I moved into my own apartment because it was that time for me. Even though I'm moving into a new place, if I'm not careful, I'll still carry on the life that I had with mama and daddy. And so sometimes we can have been adjusted and shifted by God, and we're still acting like we're over here when God has placed us over there.
Yes, Come on.
Yeah.
You've been shifted. And now the problem is, will my brain accept? Will my brain accept the new decision I made? Oh, glory.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Will my brain accept it now? Because when my brain accepts the shift, when my brain accepts I'm in a new place, when my brain accepts I'm a new creature, when my brain accepts that old things passed away and all things became new, when my brain accepts the fact that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me, when my brain begins to accept the fact that my latter is going to be greater than my former, when my brain accepts that I have access to healing in Christ Jesus, when my brain accepts that be not anxious for anything, but in all things through prayer and through supplication, you can now make your request known unto God. When my brain accepts it, then my body will shift. Oh, glory. My body will, because my brain is just simply trying to take care of my Bible, of my body. This is why your Bible says these words. God is not the author of confusion. Your brain is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I have a question,
my
Pastor.
Confusion. Yeah, go ahead.
So what do you do when the people around you refuse to understand that you have changed? Now I'm talking about you have already fully accepted that. You're learning who God is. You're learning who Jesus is. You're learning about the tribunal. You're learning about the Holy Spirit. You're learning about everything. And you've are slowly have grown into that term and really fully embraced that. But what do you do? My question is the people that are around you who refuse to see you as the new creature, but uphold you and keep you in the past.
Good question.
So it's a great question. So let's go back. If you recall, we were talking about how your brain's responsibility is to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try it one more time. My mind is going to do its very best to protect me. Mm-hmm. It is not going to do its very best to protect others. Mm-hmm. I have to make a decision for it to do that. Mm-hmm. Does that make some sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And if your brain has made the decision to make this adjustment in Christ, the reason that you are having pushback, diatribe, discontentment, discombobulation is because your brain has made the decision and theirs hasn't. Thusly, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't tell us to work out others' salvation. It is to work out my salvation. Well, that don't sound good, Pastor. That don't feel good because I got people I'm connected to and that I love, and I really want them to see this change is real and that who I am is real and that this is not phony, fictitious, fake, and made up, and I'm just learning some church talk and saying praise the Lord and don't mean nothing by it. That is your test. That is not your trial.
Come on.
You do not, and I've said this a million times on Bible study, and then we're going to go to St. John, the 17th chapter. I've said this a million times in Bible study. Your salvation didn't cost you a nickel.
Come on.
Where you go in your destiny is going to cost you. You cannot get in your car and drive from here to California without putting gas in the car. And in order to get gas in the car, I got to get out the car. I got to go inside of the gas station. I got to pull up the pump. I got to put the thing in there. I got to pull out a credit card. There's a whole process taking place for me to get from one place to another place in life. And the same process, but more spiritual, is taking place even with the people around us, because the people around us are observers. They're the people that God put in place to be witnesses to what your life is like. And when the witness gets right, the witnesses get righter. When the witness gets right, the witnesses get righter. When the witness is right, the witnesses get righter. Well, how does the witness get right? It gets right through trials, because when you make a mistake with this person, you learn from it and don't make the mistake with the next person. When you messed up and said some things you shouldn't have said to that person, and you see the result of it and the resolve of it, that is God's training ground. That is his schoolmaster to teach you how to move into your own future and your own destiny through the trials and tribulations around you. Jesus had to go through a lot of stuff. He didn't have to go through nothing to be Jesus, but he had to go through a lot to become Lord. He was born Jesus. But he got spat on. He got rejected. They tried to kill him in the square. They killed him with many stripes. He went through a lot to become Lord. He didn't go through nothing to be Jesus. Anybody listening to me?
Yes.
And I know it don't feel good to have to say those things, but they're truth in the kingdom. Because you slipped when you, not slipped, but you moved, you shifted. When you accepted Christ, you shifted out of the world into a kingdom citizen life, if you desire it. But my mind has to make the adjustment, and the adjustment part, is everybody keeping up with this?
Yes.
The adjustment part of my mind is the place when my mind begins to accept the fact that they don't get it, and that's okay. They ain't gonna be any better, and that's okay. They ain't gonna love me because I do, and they ain't gonna love me because I don't, and that's okay. Because when you think about the life of Jesus Christ, glory to God, when you think about the life of Jesus Christ, as many people as he healed, as many people as he fed, 5,000 in one case, 4,000 with kids and women in another case, with 2 fish and 5 loaves, with all the people that he fed, half of them still wanted to kill him. I don't think you heard that part.
Yes, I
did.
With
all the people he was merciful to, all the people he laid hands and they received healing, 10 lepers he healed, one comes back and says, thank you. The other 9 went on and said, who's that joker? You it just don't work like you think it works. But it works if you work it. Oh, God.
Yes.
Let me try it again. It don't work like we think it works, but it will work if you work it.
Yeah.
And you allow him to work you.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Now, remember what we just read, right? Remember what we just read. Verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. 3:26, 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you put him on. The adjustment's been made. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So I don't have a black nationalist mentality. God called me with an understanding of what my people go through, but I'm going to be just as loving and kind to a white man, to a Mexican man, to a Chinese man, or to a zebra stripe man, because I know God ain't looking at them people's color. He's looking at this circumstance that he sent us into to try to help them to find a new pathway so that their brain can make, anybody getting this? So the brain can now make an adjustment and they recognize it's time for me to move out the old apartment into this new kingdom apartment. But they ain't gonna move into it until they see it's moving in your life. You can't be a, and I'm not talking to anybody, but I'm talking to everybody. You cannot be a kingdom hypocrite and expect for God to deliver the people that are around you. And what a kingdom hypocrite is I'm telling you what to do, and I won't do it myself.
Amen.
I'm telling you what God says, and I ain't studying what God said about me. Kingdom hypocrite.
Amen.
Because your brain will become confused.
Yes.
Going, I'm saying one thing,
I'm there right
and I'm
now.
Doing something different. Anybody here? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm saying one thing out of my brain's mouth, and I'm doing something completely different with my physical life that I'm living, and now my brain is confused, and it don't know whether to believe God or not believe God. Therefore, my faith is now inhibited.
Amen.
Let me try that again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are we teaching tonight?
Yes.
Your faith is now inhibited. And so now you're saying, I'm calling on God to fix this and fix that. But your faith is already inhibited because you're saying one thing and doing something different. And so even your words, when they go out to God, because he's the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart, they're coming out confused, even though you think you were very specific in the prayer. But in all reality, the words you said didn't match up with the heart you had. And God is a discerner of the thought and the intent.
Yes.
He could care less if all you could do was mumble. He still knows what you're asking for.
Oh,
he don't care if you groan and moan to him. You don't have to have an Our Father, which art in heaven prayer. You can just sit there and go, oh, God, I need you. He still gets the point.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody getting it?
Yes.
All right.
I got it, Pastor. I got it.
Praise the Lord. Let's switch over. Now watch this. I want you to catch this part. So we just read that. I got you. You got that in you, right? Write this down. Go back and read this over and 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 over. And then if I can, I want to say one more thing. Read it over. Over and 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 over. And then if you can, read it over.
Yep. Okay. I already highlighted
this too much. Hallelujah. Now watch what he says. Let's go to 4:1 now. Watch this. Right? He just got through saying, you're heir. You're now attached to Abraham's promises. Abraham's promises.
Galatians.
We're still in Galatians, yes, ma'am. Abraham's promises, you're attached to it. Now watch this. 4:1. Look at what he says. And now I'm telling you that if you're the heir, here's where the problem comes in. Remember the brain adjustment? Now I say, you are an heir, but as long as you're a child, you're different nothing than a regular servant. Though you are Lord over all. Oh, that's big. Let me try it again.
Oh, come on.
Now, I'm telling you that though you're an heir, as long as you act like a child,
glory,
you ain't no different from a servant.
Mm.
Though you own it all. Oh, glory to God.
Come on.
I wish I had some shouting church folk around me.
Though
you have it all. You own it all. Cattle on 1,000 hills, and they're all yours to claim if you claim them in his holy name. That means my mind can no longer be confused about the shift I made. I made a shift when I accepted Jesus Christ. I wasn't just trying to get out of my pain. I was trying to get to my future. Some people accept them because they're just tired of the pain. Remember I told you if you break your leg in a car accident, first place you're going is to the hospital. And that's why the church is a big hospital. Because a lot of folks come in because they just want to get out the pain. But they don't understand the shift that was made, and they never move toward the future. So they stay a child, and as long as they're a child, though they have an inheritance, they're no more than a servant.
Wow. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so we got that, right?
Yes.
One more scripture. You should write it down. You should make sure you do.
Okay. Yep.
Now let's go to what separates the child from the adult in Christ. What separates the child from a grown-up? Here we go. Chapter 2, verse 16.
Verse 16.
Somebody's going to be mad at me.
Chapter 2. Verse 16.
Okay, I got it.
I can tell you before I read it, somebody's going to be mad at me. But once you get it, you're going to get real happy. I promise you.
Here
we go.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Let's read 14, 15, and 16 so you see the whole story he's telling. Okay. 14, 15, 16.
Still in Galatians.
Then what I saw? Galatians.
Okay.
14. Saints of God. Tell somebody you're a saint on the phone. Let's have like church too. Tell somebody you're a saint.
You're a saint.
Hallelujah. I got one person calling somebody else a saint and everybody else is acting like an ain't. So tell somebody you're a saint.
May I read number 14?
Yes, please. Go ahead. 14.
Here goes number 14. But when I saw that they walked not unrightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew Life is after the manner of mm-hmm. Gentiles and not as we do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
Stay right there. Thank you. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
I'm going to read it on top and just add the flavor that you need so that you get the point. He says, but when I saw that they didn't walk uprightly, they weren't doing this right,
mm-hmm.
according to the truth of the gospel, not somebody's religion, not somebody told you need to jump through a hoop over here, jump on the fire over there, you got to go climb up here, you got to get 10% every week, you got to do this, and you got to do that, according to the truth of the gospel.
I said to Peter,
before everybody, I put him right on Front Street.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, if you being a Jew, live after the manner of
the Gentiles doing what they do.
So when you're around the Gentiles, you act like a Gentile. When you're around the Jews, you want to act like a Jew. Somebody says, neither Jew nor Gentile. And what he was telling him was, Peter, you're a hypocrite. You're one way with these folks.
Woo!
You're a whole other way over there with them folks.
Oh, man.
Peter, you playing some hip hop. And listen to who he's talking to. He's talking to a staple of the apostle community. Paul is the youngest of those apostles, and he's telling the older apostle, hold on for a minute, Peter. I'm catching you on some stuff here. You got some hypocrisy going on. You remember we just read, you're neither Jew nor Gentile?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Peter's over here playing the Jew game because he's so scared of them boys, because he knows that they'll stone you to death when you make a mistake in that religion.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus has freed you from sin and death in this religion.
Hallelujah.
Peter's over there playing with the stone to death religion rather than I'm freed religion, which is a relationship in Christ that says, you are now heir and joint heir. So that was 14. 15. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners and not sinners of the Gentiles. Watch this. Knowing that a man is not justified by his works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. See, you're an heir. You got to catch this. You're an heir and a joint heir. And it ain't going to be because of how we stop lying, cheating, drinking, whoremongering, backsliding, slipping and tipping and tripping and flipping and skipping. We stop doing that because we love Christ.
Yes.
It ain't when you stop doing that you can love Christ. How many people you know will tell you outright, straight to your face, as soon as I get my act together, I'm going to start going to church? Because they're dealing with the law. They think I have to be a certain way to get to God. No, you need to come to God as you are. And then when your love grows in him, you'll give up some things, because once you feel the ultimate extraordinary power of agape over your life, you ain't going to give that up. I don't care what she or he looks like. You ain't getting that up for nobody. I don't care what the car looks like. I don't care how much money they offer you. You ain't giving that up for nobody, because ain't nothing feeling as good as God when you get him fully and you're really wrapped into his everlasting arms. Nothing will feel better than that, and I guarantee you nothing can replace it, and you'll say, no, y'all can take that mess and go. I'm good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody got it? So you see the combination of things. Everybody saw that, right?
Yes.
Now let's go to St. John now. Now let me show you who you are. Let me show you let me show you the shift. Somebody say shift.
Shift.
Come on, baby. I'm gonna show you the shift that was made for you. You don't have to know this exists. There's a shift. So your brain has got to catch up with his command. Your brain has to catch up to the promise. The promise don't have to. Do you know most of us are chasing stuff that God already has for you? And you running around chasing it because your brain you won't let your brain adjust and realize I can relax. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 12th chapter, It says, there remaineth a rest unto the people of God today. I can rest and receive. I don't have to be anxious and rushing, and I don't have to rat race to receive.
Where we at?
That was Hebrews
Hebrew, that's probably Hebrew 12. There remaineth a rest unto the people of God. Just type it into your computer or your phone. You'll find it really easy.
Yeah, I was just writing it down.
All right, so we're in 17. This is going to be kind of a long read, but you need to hear this. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Let me set the scenario. So remember what we just read. Don't go like we on a whole new study. We're not. We're talking about the same topic. The shift, the adjustment. There's been an adjustment made, and it was made for you. An adjustment.
Right.
Adjustment. My brain has to catch up to the adjustment. The adjustment's been made. I got to convince my brain this adjustment is for me. I got to catch up to it. You don't get to tell me to keep doing this thing when that thing is over there waiting for me. You don't get to do that to me no more, brain. You don't get to tell me I got to go for everything somebody says about me when he already told me I'm a royal priesthood and a peculiar people. I ain't going for that stuff I hear no more. I'm going over here to the stuff I know he said. I'm making the adjustment tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Ooh, glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
St. John 17th chapter. Watch what he says. This is the foundation of this scripture. Is Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. So they're going to come, yes, ma'am, where the Roman soldiers, the Jewish religious folk, the Sanhedrin, the scribes and the Pharisees, those are the religious folk, they're getting ready to come and get him and take him over to Pontius Pilate to have him tried and crucified. They already know he's going to be killed because they're not going to allow Pontius Pilate to let him free. Pontius Pilate gets to a place where he says, you know, I don't find any sin in this man. And he says, and he even tried a few tricks with the religious folk of his day to get Jesus out of that mess, because he said, you know, your traditions say we have to let one person go when it comes close to when we get close to Sabbath. And Pentecost, who would you choose? And they say, let go of the murderer, Barabbas. Get him out of there. Kill Jesus. So he was set up from the beginning. Everybody got that?
Yes.
You with me? Jesus knows this is going to happen. He's conscious of it. He's not like this is a surprise or a shock. Because the difference between Jesus and us is Jesus was not living life on life's terms. Jesus was living life on God's terms. He already knew.
Can I add to that?
So watch what he says. Uh-huh, go ahead.
You know, and I find it so interesting that while all these things were happening, he was getting ready to be arrested in the garden. All those people, all the Roman soldiers were born, raised, lived their lives, were taught, and had no idea that they were fulfilling prophecy. And the only person that knew exactly from beginning to the end was Jesus. These people were literally going off their own minds, their own ways, doing their own thing, but still falling into prophecy.
I'm going to give you the scripture for that. I'm going to give you the scripture for that before we go on. I'm going to make sure you notice. I want you to write this down. I do not want you to be listeners tonight. I want you to be hearers and doers of the word.
Okay.
All right? So that scripture, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 8th verse. Write it down. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you what it says. You don't have to go there. I'm going to tell you what it says. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they have known it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know who they were killing, because they didn't know that his death released the Holy Spirit into the very atmosphere around us so all could have access. That's why you're heirs and joint heirs You have access. You're in the kingdom living. Stop feeding the kingdom like it's the world, and you ain't gonna get the world to act like it's the kingdom. Quit confusing your brain.
Yeah. Wow.
Hallelujah. John 17, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to read this a lot, but I want you to hear it, and then I want you to go back and study it. Please, please, listen to this. Jesus is on his way. He knows that the betrayal is coming. He knows Judas is coming. He knows that these men are coming. He even knows Peter's going to cut off a man's ear while he tells a lie about, I ain't going to let nobody hurt you. If they have to kill me to hurt you. And then he turns to Peter and says, Peter, before the cock crows, you've been and denied me three times before the cock crows, because you strong while I'm here. It's when I'm not around that you will find you have your greatest temptation and your greatest trouble. And that is a message for all of the people of God. You know he's around when you're in service on Sunday.
Come on. Amen. Come on, sir.
But those 6 days between Sunday and Sunday is where you kind of get stronger at. Right,
yeah.
Here he goes. 17. These words spake Jesus, verse 1, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son. And what he's asking is, let me have a good death. Let me have an honorable death. I know I can't stop it, but let me be brave and courageous while I'm going through it. Let me do it like a lord should do it, and not like a servant. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. And thou hast given power over all flesh, given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, talking about God, as the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent for them. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He tells the whole world right in that moment, he was here in the beginning. I was here before the world was made. Mm-hmm. Listen to it. He says in verse 6, I have manifested, I made your presence known to people. I've manifested thy name unto men, which thou gave me out of the world, out of the world. They shifted into the kingdom, the shift, the adjustment they made. Thine they were yours, and then you gave them to me, and they have kept my word. See that? Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me came from you.
Yes.
See, your life ain't I gotta stop just right there for a moment. Your life ain't really a testimony if you went out and got it for yourself.
Amen.
Your life ain't really a testimony if you can fix what's going on in your house yourself. Your life ain't really a testimony if your kids make all the adjustments because of what you said and did to them. No, your life becomes a testimony when you've done the work he gave you and you see them adjust into the kingdom right in front of you. That's when you know your life is a living testimony. And they start shifting just like you shifted, because they see how good the shift works for you. Anyway, he says, watch what he says. Let's go to verse 8. For I have given them the words which thou gave me. Everybody hear that? I've given them the words which thou gave me. Everybody hear that?
Yes.
Your words ain't doing nobody any good. It's the words that Jesus spoke into your life that changed your life that'll change theirs. Not your good thinking, but the things he said into your life, if he said, stop something, do something, go here, go there, those words that he gave you will help other people. It's not what you think you've grown into. It's just remembering how he got you there.
And can I add to that?
How he got you. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
And just, you know, going back what you said, you know, it's what Jesus did for us. Because I can tell you the result of every time I obeyed and every time I've read his word and every time I've tried to live in that way, the only result I've ever got was this peace.
because all the choices I make on my own give me turmoil and stress and depression. But anything from him, I get nothing but peace. That's all I get.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody with us tonight? Praise the Lord. This is an awesome Bible study. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
What book are we at? I'm sorry.
St. John, 17th chapter.
Thank you. Verse 8.
Sister Clay, God bless you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Verse 8. For Saint I John. Have given unto them, look what he did. I gave unto them the words which you gave me. He didn't make up words. And they have received them and have known surely that I came from you. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. You got to catch this. Whoa, you better put this one in your back pocket, in your front pocket, in your purse, in your wallet. You better carry this, right? I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world right
for the
now,
world.
But for them which thou hast given who?
Me.
Because when they came to me, they became yours. They are thine. And all mine is yours. And all thine is now mine. And now I'm glorified in them. So my death transfers from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, and back over to you on the earth.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm now glorified. Remember, I told you, say glorified means let me die right.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's saying, let me live right in them. Oh, God. And now, verse 11, I am no more in the world, but these are going to be in the world. And I came to thee. This is the only prayer you'll see that Jesus wasn't teaching. He was doing himself. This is his prayer.
Okay.
He says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they might become one. Now, I could tear that one up when I talk about division in the church. They are supposed to be one. We are supposed to be one body, one faith, one baptism, one mind, one entity, one moving thing. We're supposed to be a force against evil. One, not a whole bunch of individuality. I think the church ought to do. I think the pastors ought to do. I think the evangelists ought to act this way. We're supposed to be one because every one of us saved. Remember, I told you, you could pick who you came, who you were born to. You didn't pick your parents. Your parents didn't pick you. They had you, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now watch what your Bible says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You didn't pick them. We didn't pick you. We had you. Praise the Lord. And so, and so this is why that's important. Because if you really understand, if you understand life on life's terms, which we started out talking about, and the adjustments, which we kind of coined as today's thought process, then you'll understand that everybody came into the kingdom sick.
Mm-hmm.
They're still making the adjustment in their mind to understand how to be in the kingdom. So no matter how long they've been in church, there's still probably a little sickness there. And because there's a little sickness there, we start looking at the sickness because we, and I'm going to tell you what causes that. Everybody ready for this?
Yes.
Ready? What causes that sickness is we pick up the spirit of familiarity that the Bible talks about. And so now that I know you so well, I don't love you for what I was loving you for in the beginning. I'm now looking at everything you do wrong and not all the things you were doing right. See, it was you that called me on Sunday and encouraged me to go to church. See, it was you that made sure when I got to church and didn't have a ride, you talked to somebody or you took me home yourself. It was you that was doing all those things. But now that I've been in church with you about 2-3 years, all I see in you is how many times you dropped the microphone, how many times you picked up and got in the way of somebody's preaching. All I see in you now.
Come on, sir.
And it is a bit. And it is the very reason why most relationships don't last, because we go in the relationship in love and we come out of the relationship in judgment. You go in love and you come out in judgment. And if you ain't careful, you'll carry that sickness right into the very church itself. You'll go in love and come out in judgment. Oh, I love it here. You'll carry it into your job. Oh, I need this job so bad. Somebody gives it to you, and 4 weeks later, you send back to these people. Don't even do right on this job. They don't even act right. They treat me like this. And so, but you ask.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. That one.
Yes.
So when you pick up, when you have those feelings, praise the Lord. Somebody, I hope somebody's getting this.
Yes.
When you have those feelings, you just have to recognize, oh, that is the spirit of familiarity trying to make me see something that was always there, but now it looks like a sore thumb and it just stands out all the time for me. But that's me. It ain't them. Because they always had it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been just like, can I bring it home? Many times we've had relationships with people, and you've been in a relationship and you go, I can't stand what they do. They do this, do that. They were doing that when they met you. You just didn't want to pay attention to them.
Yeah, amen.
What if they tricked
they
you?
They were doing it when you met them.
So they tricked you. Yeah, that happens.
But now I've got into the spirit of familiarity, and I think I'm judge, jury, and spiritual police. And so I want to put them under arrest. I want to take them out of the... The challenge is to grow through it. The challenge is to grow with it. The challenge is to grow above it. The challenge is to eventually draw it in, because when they see they can't draw you out, it changes its parameter. And
that one.
They have to shift.
Yeah.
Shift. Glory to God. Let me keep reading. Everybody ready? Because it's 6:45. So here we are in verse 11. Let's start back there. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they might be one just as we are one. Watch where he goes. This is so important. Even as we are one, as we are. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gave me, I have kept them. So I didn't lose nobody. And none of them is lost. He talks about one person, but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And even he had purpose in my life. Big glory to God.
Come on.
Oh, you don't see, I wish you see it. And even he had a purpose to fulfill in my life. That's why I said some of the things that we're dealing with, they're not a trial. They're a test. They're...
Lessons, baby.
Somebody, God is using somebody to improve you, and you so busy trying to disprove them that you don't get the proof you need of who you are. I don't improve than be disapproving. Anyway.
Wow.
Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Thank you, Lachi. My joy will be fulfilled in them. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. The world hated them because they're no longer of that world. Even as I am not of that world.
Amen.
I pray not that thou should, watch this, listen. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that you would leave them, keep them just from the evil of it all. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, separate them, pull them out, shift them. Sanctification is shifting. Sanctification is an adjustment.
Come on. Yes.
Sanctify them through that truth, because your word is the truth. So without the word, I don't shift properly. Oh, glory. Without the word, I don't adjust properly. When I just go become a listener, not a reader and a doer, I never make the shift. My brain is still confused. My brain is just confused. It ain't me. I'm not a bad person. It ain't my kids. They're not bad kids. It ain't my boyfriend or my husband. They ain't bad people. my brain is just confused because I can't shift because I don't have the, you know, some cars are manual and you have to kind of, you know, step on it and shift the gear. And what the word does for us is it helps you to shift gears that you didn't even know existed in your mind. You didn't even know they existed in your spirit. But the more you read, the more you shift. The more you shift, the more you adjust. The more you the more momentum you get. The more momentum you get, the more destiny you fulfill. And the more destiny you fulfill, the more the glory of God begins to show up around you and even in the people that you thought would never get it.
I feel it.
Hallelujah. He said, I have given them that word. The world is hating them. He talked about that. 15. I'm not praying that you take them out of here. I'm not praying that you separate them. I'm just praying that you keep the evil off of them. Verse 15. They're not of this world anymore, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, because your word is the truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them. See, remember, you made the adjustment. You accepted Jesus Christ. You made the adjustment. Made the acceptance. Now we're mad because he sent us right back into the world. I don't know.
Hey.
My problem is I done made this adjustment. He's getting ready to train me, so he sent me back into the world, not take me out of the world. He's sending me back into it, so I begin to see what it is that Satan has done to them because I'm starting to see how he did it to me.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Now I'm a true witness.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Somebody call me?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay, here we go. Verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I adjusted me. Verse 19. And for their sakes, I adjusted myself.
Lord.
That they also might be adjusted through this truth. Praise the Lord.
Come here we are.
We're going into the stretch now. Now watch what he says. This is so important. Please read this. Please read this. Neither pray I for these alone. He's directing this particular statement at the apostles, the people that have been following him. I'm not just praying for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the words they spoke. That's us.
Yes.
That's me. That's you. Mm-hmm. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And they also may be one in us. You don't just have Jesus in you. You got the very power and wisdom of God in you. Listen to me real good. The same God that created the heavens and the earth is a creative God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that by his wisdom he framed the earth. You've got the ability inside of you. I hope I reach somebody tonight, Holy Ghost, please. You have the ability in you to start a business. You have the ability in you to get out of any financial trouble. You have the ability inside of you to start bringing your family and garnering and nurturing in the right way, not in the old way where you just gave them anything they wanted. You can now give them what they need. You have all of these giftings living inside of you because he said both of them are in you. Ooh, I don't know if you get it. Both of them are in you. And the two of them together is what comprises the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
The two I together.
I feel like you're talking to me tonight, Pastor Apostle.
A lot of us.
Hallelujah.
Some of it hit me, Pastor. But may I say something to the gentleman real quick?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman that was talking a little while ago, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Mm-hmm. But that's you were Lottie. Saying, I'm sorry?
Brother Lottie.
Oh, okay. But you were saying about like, you're joining church and how the people around you may not accept it or, you know. Well, I have experienced that since I have joined church, and I've been telling people and stuff because I find it very happy for me. I find it very, it helps me. I just find it very helpful for me. That's the best way I can explain it. And do you know, actually, people that I've told, they have actually stopped talking to me because they're saying now that I'm trying to be somebody I ain't. And it's not that I don't go around preaching, but if I feel like giving you a word, yes, I will pass a word to you if I can, and they don't like that. So now I just feel like God has removed them from me because they were just no good. And I didn't ask them to remove nobody from me, but it was just done, and it was crazy how it was done. And I said, well, I'll still pray for you. You know, if I still see you, you want to say hi, still say hi. I don't have nothing against you, but it's just funny how when you join church, right away people want to think that you're trying to preach and everything, and then it's not that. But if I do have a good word to preach to you, yes, I will.
Yeah, and let me add to that. That's Sister Donna. I just wanted to add, hello, everybody. I heard you say, I didn't ask him to remove that from me, but my prayer has been, Lord, please remove everything from me that's not of thee and don't mean me no good. Give me the ability to talk to people who will listen. I ask him every night, Lord, wake us up for tomorrow night that we may be able to share a word with somebody else and tell them about your goodness. So my prayer, it didn't used to be that, but I experienced the same thing. People just left because, okay, you joining this, but God have a way of removing things out of your life that's not for you. Those people never were for you, you see.
Yes.
It's not that they, you know, they were friends while you were doing what you were doing and laughing with them and being with, but as you change and you find Christ, they see that light. And when they see that light, sometimes that light scares them until they get to that point. You know, it scares them. So, of course, they move away from you. My prayer was, Lord, move them away from me. If they don't mean me no good, and let me be able to share a word with them, I pray for them still. And that when they get ready, he'll bring them back. So,
that be my prayer, too. And I just say, bless them as they journey on their way.
Amen. They'll be back one day. And I'll be able to come in with you.
Prayerfully, they'll be back. And so I think I can stop there. I just wanted to make sure you all got this, because it is a foundational understanding of who you are. Yes, we should understand the Bible, but really you have to understand what Christ has done.
Mm-hmm.
He adjusted your life.
Mm-hmm.
How far that adjustment goes is on how quickly you allow the confusion to go away. Because when I'm holding on to what God is removing, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm fighting for what God is trying to relinquish, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm tussling with, I got no job, haven't had a job. When I bought the car, I bought it in somebody else's name. I've been running around in the car, ain't paid not one car note, but I refuse to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Not recognize it, I got it wrong. It draws wrong to me. Oh boy. It creates circumstances and it has a spirit on it. And I have to be willing to say, God, remove what is not there so you can replace it with what my destiny declares for me, because I'm living under a promise. I'm not going to be so silly that I sit at home all day, don't go to work, and don't try to make, you know, don't clean up or nothing, because I'm expecting some angel to show up on my doorstep and start cleaning the house and carrying me back and forth to the grocery store. No, I'm going to take the appropriate action, but I've now learned, because I made the proper adjustment, let God be responsible for the result.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, of course.
And this is one of the reasons why I implore people to read the Old Testament, because when you understand how when Moses couldn't go to the promised land because he disobeyed. So once Joshua took over, and these people in, you know, Canaan in that area, they all had to be removed. And, you know, God obviously, he has the power to come and, you know, but there are many battles that the Israelites had to do where God was just like, you got to do this, but I got you.
especially when when King David went up against Goliath. He was a man after, you know, God's heart, and King David was just like, "What's up? Like, you're not gonna sit here with your pagan, you know, idols and gods and stuff right here and mock, you know, God's, you know, army, you know, God's people." And he ran in there and handled business and stuff on his own, but God was still with him. And that's what, you know, I believe Pastor Moreau was talking about, is just like, we got to get up, we have to do it, but understand that God, again, is going to handle the other half of that.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Everybody got it? I take an action, but I have to be okay with God producing the results. Because if I take an action and the result is not the way I want it, I'll take God's role and start trying to make the result come out differently.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody get that?
Amen.
Because my brain will do what it's supposed to do. It'll start protecting me. It'll start going, well, you know, you could do this, or you could just lie to them and send them a bad check and let them know that the money is on its way. By the time they get it and go cash it and so forth and so on, it's going to bounce, of course, but maybe by then you'll have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And God is saying, no, that's not how I have. You're a kingdom citizen. Mm. Do the right thing. It will produce the right result.
Yeah.
It may not always produce the right result for the people that you did it for, but it has God's word has a reciprocation process in it, meaning it does not return void. If I put it out there, it has to return somehow, and I need to watch for the return, not look at the place I threw it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's got a boomerang effect.
Right.
And the Bible says in Isaiah 55, it will accomplish that which I sent it to do. That's what God said. It will accomplish what I said. And sometimes when you speak it, it'll chase some folk away. But that's the part we don't like, because what you didn't realize is that it is accomplishing what it was sent to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks that's leaving me, he was trying to remove them, and I never got it because I keep trying to hold on to what God is saying, let go of. Because what you let go of, God will replace. We read this in the book of Mark in the 10th chapter last week, and we read that. Anybody that's lost house, family, for my sake, I'll restore it 100-fold now and in this time. You ain't got to wait on it long, it's coming.
Amen.
So what you let go of is only God making room for what's coming.
Amen.
Can I say something, Apostle?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to refer to what Brother Lati had said about the people around you that don't get or respect who you are. And every time we come to those situations, I'm always reminded of yet, you know, the yet. They don't get it yet. Mm-hmm. Even though some of them may not ever get it or may never respect you. But even though, like it goes back to saying that part about us working out our own salvation too, but also it goes like, and that brings me back to us. Like sometimes he'll have a situation to where the enemy wants us to focus on that, but he wants to put you under the test, you know, to make you, to so you can graduate from a certain situation. How you gonna handle the people that don't respect who you are or who you become, and you know, for you to allow your light to shine no matter what, because you being placed in that situation for a reason, you know, and it's really not for their growth, it's for your growth, you know, like, hey, when they that and they push your buttons or something like that, are you going to react in a way where your light will continue to shine? Because people will be used like that, you know, because they not on the same walk with you. So they want to push those buttons and do those things so they can say, you know, the enemy is an accuser of the brethren. So you can see, I told mm-hmm. you what. I told you you wasn't this. So
yeah.
It's two ends to that, you know, it's two ends to that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, they don't get it yet. And then, hey, what's my assignment in this situation where they don't get it yet? You know, how do I continue to let my light shine so that when it all boils down, they'll say that, you know, it's almost like what makes us different, because we're in this world and we're not of this world. So if we're going to handle the situations like the world handle it, that's what shows that we're not different. We have to be mindful to handle those situations because we're chose out of this world to make sure our actions line up with the word, and we could be being tested. So it's on both spectrums.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do we have any closing thoughts at 7:03? I'll go around the room. I'll say, let's start with Lati. Lati, closing thoughts?
Oh, yeah, no, just listening to all you guys. I've been kind of, you know, been going through a lot, I would say. New challenges, really understanding the whole rewiring, and also just like your flesh, you know, because I feel like there's certain situations and certain people that have certain spirits on them that are, you know, kind of there to, you know, push that and be like, okay, I see your progress. I see how much you're growing. I see that, you know, because we all know there's a spiritual war going around us all the time, and these spirits are watching you all the time. Like, you just fasted for the first time. Oh, you're reading this. Oh, you're really starting to understand who God is. Yeah, let me see. And it's just like, you know, it's really hard, where it's just like it gets you to that point where you want to explode. It gets you to that point where you're just like, it gets you to your wit's end. And again, you know, going back to what, you know, I don't know that one lady's name yet. I guess I've never talked to her out here before, but, you know, having those people around you that don't want to understand that, and they still want to see you through that familiar, you know, looking glass, and being like, you're still that same person. You're still this, you're still that. Like, I don't see it, but you're just like, you know, you're not, and and they've seen your progress. They've seen all the things that you have, like, but they focus on, like, no, I still can feel the way that I feel about the past stuff. But, you know, it completely contradicts, you know, everything that I learned as a, you know, child of God. So I'm just like, well, the only person, only thing I would say that would ever try to bring up your past or something, and God's not going to bring up your past if it hurts you. God tells you to don't look back at the plow and to keep moving forward. He's not going to tell you, like, oh, yeah, remember this. Oh, God's not going to do that. Because you ask for forgiveness and you're atoned for it, he ain't thinking about that no more. It's in forgiveness. But yeah. It's the people around you who will bring that, you know, to surface and be like, remember this, what you did last time? Yeah. And then that's when the guilt and shame start to come back in. And then you're just like, ah, man. And then that's when it gets a little difficult. So that's just what I've been going through, and just hearing you guys talk, and I really, and, you know, I don't know if you guys realize you guys have encouraged me, but you guys have, and I thank everybody on here.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lati.
Praise the Lord. Like you said, it's in the past, though. If it's in the past and they bring it up, you have to tell yourself, yeah, that's who I used to be. That's not who I am now. So it's in the past, and let them know it's in the past. You can stop bringing it up.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well said. Praise the Lord. Going around the room, that was Lati. Let me go to Sister Gloria.
Very well. I just want to say that I'm very grateful for everyone at the church that I have met. You have taught me a lot. I've been learning a lot. I was completely in the dark. I didn't even know how to pick up a Bible and read it. I'm still confused on things, but I just want to say that I appreciate the pastor and his wife and everybody in the church. And I want to say to Nakobe, thank you for bringing me to the church and showing me again, because my faith was really, really wacky, and I just didn't know how to grab it again. But I grabbed it, and I'm holding on to it, and I don't care if it drags me on a rocky road, I'm holding on.
If it drags me up a rocky road, I don't think I heard anything that powerful.
Hey guys, I got some Neosporin I can put on in case I get beat up.
That's right, ride it. If it's like a horse, ride it.
Yeah, I got some Neosporin and Band-Aids.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Sister Gloria. I'm going to go to Ruby Clay. Sister Ruby, are you here?
Yes, I am. Hey. I enjoyed today's conversation. I think that it was all important. I appreciated everybody's perspective. I think at the end of the day, I really appreciated the conversation about Paul and Peter, this hypocrisy that our world, our society dwells on, right? But it's important. The way you explained it and broke it down is just, it was enlightening. But I think at the end of the day, it's not about like the place, it's about the posture of the heart, right? Because God looks at the posture. And I just, as believers, you know, we're called to walk in wisdom, right? And just maintain our character. And I think that's what Paul was trying to say to Peter, like, you're one way with them, but way, right? But always walking upright and with wisdom, maintain character and represent Christ, whatever you do. So I think that if we can remember to be present, apostle, without compromising, I've never been a person who felt like I've had to prove anything or show anybody anything, or this is who I am. And I'm still stuck in the Old Testament. If they don't receive what I'm saying, then I just shake the dust off my feet and keep on moving. That's word, right? So, we're not compromising ourselves is what I was trying to say. I took a lot away from that, and just being, you know, just continuing to be the light in the spaces where folks may need us, right? In those dark spaces that they are. Tonight was good. I'm glad I joined and learned from everybody. So thank you.
Amen. Yeah, bless you. Thank you, Daughter Clay. That's my spiritual daughter, Ruby Clay. I got a lot of kids, man. I don't know what God. Boy. Moving on, Brother DeJuan, closing thoughts.
Yes. I'm sorry I got to Berlin lately. Because I'm having issues and stuff. My tray and stuff, my food and everything coming around too. You know? But the Berlin was so awesome. Like every week is awesome. Every week I can't pick out one thing.
Amen.
But everything was awesome.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, DeJuan. Yeah, you all know that DeJuan joins us every week. He's faithful. I don't think you were able to be here last week, but you know, when you're not here, we miss you, DeJuan. And we love you, of course.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Sister Angela Walker, are you there? Yeah, Sister Walker is so clever. She'd be someplace cooking dinner and have her phone on. And she don't know that I know her like that, right? Sister Walker, you there? Put the pot down, dear. All right, we're going over to Sister Donna.
Amen.
Beautiful Illinois. Amen.
Yes. Thank you. I just wanted to say hello to everybody. I did make it this week. I'm glad I made it this week. What I did here was very powerful. Plan on keep on joining when I can. And closing thoughts. Bless everybody.
Bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. You know, we're still waiting for you to find your way to Madison. So the Lord can get you working, put you to work.
I'm working while I'm here, though, Pastor.
I know it. That's why I said up here. I put a little disclaimer in there, so I didn't get myself. Praise the Lord. Let me go over to who else do we have? I know we have Sister Hawanda. Who else is on here? Because there's one more call, and I can't see the name.
Did you skip me, Nakobe? Did I say something?
Sister Nakobe, closing thoughts. Thank you.
All righty. So my closing thoughts is, like, first and foremost, I thank God for allowing this time, you know, and just even being around you guys or whatever like that. It's like, at the other church, I was getting taught the word, but this is more in depth and more deep. And it's just what I needed to be able to look at myself in the mirror.
Ooh,
tonight was just so hard. But I realized some things that I've been doing wrong, even in just tonight's word. And I owe a couple of apologies. And I just hope that they could forgive me. But I know God will forgive me. And, like,
absolutely.
Again, I'm just, like, working on self. And I'm so glad that I've decided to be, to learn patience and be more patient with even another relationship. Because, like, it's been a minute since I've been with a guy. And fear was living in me so strongly. Especially with having somebody here with cancer and dying in front of me and stuff, like, it just made me think, like, man, I need a husband. I need to hurry up and do this. I need to do that because I don't know how much time I got. And it's just, the devil was playing with my head so strong, like, I had to snap out of it. And I just thought, thanking God and thanking God because I realized it myself what was going on. And then now listening to all of this and studying and learning what I need, what his word is just making me realize, like, yeah, I was going wrong even when I thought I was going right.
Powerful. Yeah, and to and I'm gonna end with Sister Hawanda, I believe, but to that point, it's important to catch this. You really do not. We want significant others. Most of us don't need one because we haven't become a significant other to them yet. You don't want a man. You want to become a wife.
Right.
You don't want a wife. You want to be let God make you a husband first.
Right.
So that the next person in your life wants to be the last person in your life. Because they don't ever want to see themselves without you. It's a totally, your kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That's what you're his now. And the first person I need to marry is him.
Yeah.
And with that marriage in order, and then everything else sort of builds itself around that marriage. But just to have a relationship that can result in a resolve in kids with no father. It can result in resolve in relationships that kids begin to trust and go, okay, this person is in our life, and then 3 months later they're out, and then that resolves itself into the kids can't trust your decision making. Now you got disobedience and all kinds of stuff looming around you in your house, and you can't figure out why these kids won't listen to me. Well, I asked them to do, they do something complete, but they watch the poor decision making. That's the other Peter and Paul moment, because he was watching Peter make a bad decision on how to get folks engrafted into the kingdom of God. You're one way over here, you're another way over there. So therefore, and I'm gonna tell you, everybody over here is a superstar. Now, I don't mean in your ego, but you're a superstar. And I'm gonna tell you what made you a superstar. The minute you open your mouth and say, Jesus Christ, don't nobody care what you do right anymore. They only care about what you do wrong now. So they got you in the spotlight, whether you like it or not. And so when they can catch you in one wrong, they can go back and tell everybody and convince themselves, see, that's why I ain't going to church.
Amen. That's true.
God lit you up and put a spotlight over your head for a purpose. Get good and walking in the light.
Can I add to that too, real quick?
Of course.
Yeah, I don't mean to take time up, but what's sister's name again?
Oh.
That was just talking.
Nakobe.
Nakobe. Yeah, I'm gonna be as blunt as possible. It should get to the point where, you know, and I'm just speaking about relationship wise, like, obviously, yes, you have to be, you know, a wife first, but if that person does not make Jesus Lord over their life, I don't even think that should even be a thing. Because you can't be a good husband without God. You can't be a good wife without God. You can't be a good leader without God. You can't be a good at your job without God. You can't be a good parent. You can't raise your kids. You can't help them be the best they can possibly be. Like, literally, you can't do it without God. And all the bad that we see in this world is a result of us doing it without God.
That's another fear. Another fear is being afraid of even talking to guys because of what I see nowadays. So, yeah, I'm just waiting on God. And if nobody ever noticed on my married finger, I have a ring on there, and it say I love Jesus. So when people ask me, am I married? When they ask me, am I married? I say, yeah, to Jesus.
Yep. Amen. I do too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we can close. Did everyone get a chance to share closing thoughts?
Hawanda.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Sister Hawanda, close it.
Thank you. I just wanted to say it's a privilege to be here to fellowship with all of y'all. And when somebody is missing, hallelujah, it impacts me. And when they come back, it impacts me in an even more special way. And I just wanted to encourage my brother Latif. When you first spoke, I felt your spirit, and I could tell that you were kind of down. And then when what you weren't saying also confirmed to me that there was something, but I could feel your help coming. I could feel you coming back to you. Mm-hmm. So I know you received what happened. So I just want to encourage you even further. Don't go through alone, because sometimes men be afraid to reach out too. Call somebody and say, my battery is running out. You know, you ain't got to wait till Sunday or Tuesday. Reach out. Have you that somebody that you can call, you know, because, and I also wanted to encourage you in the word. Don't get weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. What you doing, ready
Thank
to
you
take
so much
you
for that.
To the next level. He ready to take you to the next level, and that's why it's not to be worried about the people around you not receiving.
Amen.
The Most High wants you to be uncomfortable. So he wants you to get the lesson in those. And it's for you. What you're growing through, it ain't about them. Don't allow that to be your focus. Ask in every situation that feels uncomfortable. Okay, Daddy, what is it that you want me to get? What you want me to learn? Because that's ready to take you to the next level. It ain't even about them, and we ain't saying it in that way. It's about where he's taking you when we on that have it as an individual, because he deals with us as individuals.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You guys have really, you guys really picked me back up. You know, it says in the Bible, righteous man stands up seven times, and you know, you guys definitely helped me get back up tonight. So I thank all you, especially Sister Father.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to close. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I also wanted to say about in the message, you know, what we were talking about, what stood out for me. I appreciate the point that Sister Ruby had brought up, and then also what you were talking about is you know, the brain, how it, you know, wants to protect us. I also wanted to add to that, it affects our nervous system too, and seeing that's what we have to be rewired, you know, and be intentional about that. Because it's almost like our inner child, you know, we learn how to survive in the world. And it happens so quick. That's why even us with children, you know, having children, it's those first years up to about 5 and 6 years old, like you where, you know how a kid is carefree. They don't have a worry in the world. So us being intentional in our life from those beginning years that wires us with that fight or flight, what's safe and what's not safe. And then we become a way, like Apostle said, to where our brain only wants to protect us. It don't realize when you don't need those survival mechanisms anymore, you know. So you have to be intentional to go to that inner child and reaffirm her or him in those situations to say, no, I'm safe now. I got knowledge not only do I have the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, I have Holy Spirit. So I know my blood, I know my identity now, because see, our identity is in those things that happen and what the enemy said to us and told us in those lies. But now my identity is in Christ, and those things are passed away, and I'm a whole new creation. So we have to allow our, through Holy Spirit, it don't happen without Holy Spirit, that we can be rewired to where our nervous system can rest and know that we are protected. And it's a protection outside of ourselves, because in the world, we feel like we had to protect ourselves. But when we switch partners, it's Holy Spirit. He said, 1,000 may fall at your hand, you know, and 10,000 at the other, but I allow nothing to touch you. We have to know that our protection is from Holy Spirit, but we have to have it in order to know, like, because a lot of those things, people don't realize the Holy Spirit will visit you if that temple, if you ain't willing to allow that temple to be cleaned out. And not that it have to be perfect, but you have to have the heart posture to surrender and say, I ain't got it all together. I don't know everything. So that he can find a dwelling place to live, because other than that, you being led by your flesh, and if you being led mostly by your flesh, you know who your father is, and that's just what's real. Come on.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we close?
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful hour and a half of 2 hours of Bible study that you've given us, life study. When we begin to assimilate the word of life, it is the word that sets us free. Jesus said, the word is the truth.
Yes.
It is that truth that when we begin to enact it in our everyday being, in our everyday existence, that we begin to see the reciprocity of the word, that what we have planted now begins to grow, that we begin to reap what it is we have sown, and we begin to cancel the old contract of sowing what we reaped. Now we are reaping what we're sowing. We're sowing good news. We're sowing good thoughts. We're sowing good deeds. We're sowing in the name of Jesus. And so we're just asking you to bring back the harvest plentifully. Bring it back so that the harvest is so bountiful that it spreads from inside of our living rooms, outside of our doors, and into our communities, and into our cities, and into our states, and into our country, and into a world that is sick and dying. Even right now, as we glorify you, there's some folks dying that don't know you. And so we're asking you to reap and bring forward a harvest through New Covenant Church of Christ that's never been seen before. We're not looking for some religious folks. We're looking for some folks that have a relationship through the Holy Ghost with Jesus Christ and the God whom he served. We're looking for those people. Father, send them, and we'll take care of them. We'll love them. We promise to keep them safe. We promise to do our part. We're asking you to bless every household that comes to this Bible study, and we're asking you for a personalized miracle to show up in their life so that they know that their works are not in vain. Their coming to learn is not in vain, that you're doing something with them, doing something in their life, doing something in their presence, doing something so that when it's all said and done, we'll be able to give a testimony about the test that we passed.
Come on, Lord.
Raise some other folks into salvation. We thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I love you all with the love of Christ.
Love you all.
I look forward to seeing you all next week, and some of you in church on Sunday and Saturday.
Hallelujah.
Good night, everyone.
Love you all.
Good night.
Love you all. Good night.
Good night.
You all.